First reading, we're told that we have the anointing that comes from the Holy One. Actually, we have the chrisma, which means the oil of anointing. And what is that oil of anointing that we have? It is the action of the Holy Spirit making the Word of God come alive so that it permeates us, it fills us, it changes us. That's what we have, is this oil of anointing, this Holy Spirit. And you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do, and because every lie is alien to the truth. And the truth, as St. John presents it, is the revelation of the Father. So we've just been told now we have this anointing. We have the work of the Holy Spirit going on inside of us, bringing the Word of God alive so that it really becomes the principle of our activity, not just a vague memory, but the living interior principle by which we act is the Word of God. And so we have this description in the beginning of John's Gospel. These 18 verses are the reason why John is called John the Theologian, because he discourses about the Trinity from Revelation. And it is to grasp this, now that it's been said for us, now that it's been articulated for us, now that the Word of God himself has filled this with his light and his power and his, this is an expression of who he is. Now we can understand this. Not ever completely, even in the next life, but we can understand it. And this is the foundation of everything, right? In the beginning, that's the way the whole Bible starts, right? In the beginning. What John is saying is, put that beginning anywhere you want. Put it here, put it here, put it here, wherever you want to put the beginning. The Word already was. Just realize that there, God, Theos, Logos, and Pneuma, God, Word and Spirit. One God, one Adonai, one Yahweh, who is three persons. That mystery of the Trinity required the incarnation for us to understand. When somebody stands here in his human nature and calls to God and calls him Abba, and he himself is God, then we see the Trinity. We see the action of the Trinity going on in front of our eyes because it has been made flesh. And in our poor human eyes, we can see this. Every time Jesus spoke of the Father, he said, Abba. You know, about the time when the world is going to end, you know, even the Son doesn't know, only Abba. When he prayed, he said, Abba. And when, as we have it in Luke, probably a more original form, when you pray, say Abba. Pray like I do. Say Abba. Come into the family of the Trinity. That's where you're going to be forever. And so, see, in the beginning was the Logos. Imagine some of the great saints and mystics have spent hours just gazing on the truth that's mediated to us through that one statement. Our challenge, my friends, is we take words as words instead of words as revelations. See, in the beginning was the Word. The reality of that is brought to us through these human words. But it's the reality. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Now, the word that John uses here for with doesn't just mean next to. It means turn towards. See, the word was pros ton theon. So the word was turned towards God. This word that was in the beginning. Huh? And the word was God. This is an explosion, isn't it? God. And now the word who is turned toward him. Marvelous. And then this word turns towards God is God. Well, I thought you said there was God and the word. Now you're telling me that the word is God. Yes. How many gods are there? One. But you see, God is not like a pie divided into three parts. God is Father, who from all eternity, in an incredible, unbelievable, unfathomable act of love, generated his Son from all eternity. There was never a moment when the Son was not. In the beginning was the Word. So from the very beginning, there is this love. And the Word was God. Everything you say of God, you can say of him, except that he's not the Father. He's the Son. He's the Word. So out of his depths, the Father pronounced himself. And there is Jesus. There is the very Word of God. The great delight in prayer is to let the Holy Spirit show you this. Rejoice in this. Awesome. And think, this is heaven. So the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Those four lines require such a mystical grace to assert those words. Go home and start a gospel yourself and write a prologue to your gospel and see what you say. And then you get an idea of how enlightened this man was and what purity of life and heart and mind and body that the Lord could invest him and entrust him with this knowledge so that we could share it in the power of this word. And then all things came to be through him. Panta de aftu eyenito. Panta. Everything, everything. There's only God. Now, why would God create? Infinite bliss. Nothing can be added to the joy of the Trinity or the satisfaction of the Trinity. Infinite. No need of anything. In fact, as the philosophers will tell us, after creation, there's no more being than there was before creation. I know this is tough early in the morning, but I'm trying to show you how exalted our God is. So why does he create generosity? Pure, pure generosity. Love. I want other realities to share in my being. The rocks, the stars, the trees, the oceans. Let them share in my being. They exist. And they exult when they exist. You know, St. Thomas says, all matter really wants to be spiritual, wants to become part of a human body so that it can be transformed and be part of it. Every feast day, we sing, "Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord," sun and moon, stars and ice and snow. And what are we doing? We're taking all of creation and let it go through our body and our heart and our mind and our voice and praise God. Isn't that what we just had in the psalm? It says here, "Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and what fills it resound. Let the plains be joyful and all that is in them, and all the trees of the forest clap their hands." That happens through us. But that's not all he did. He gave some things life. They can move. Lions and zebras and cats and dogs and, they can move. They have life and plants. They're more like God because they can live. And then he said, "Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. And let them rule over everything I've made." And so he created Adam. Male and female, he created them. And he said, "Look, rule, run everything. It's all under your authority." We've destroyed that by sin and we've misdirected the universe. I mean, with our, test tube babies and atom bombs and, we've ruined this. God still forgives us and he's never taken back the gift. Never taken back the gift. And why all this? See, not only that he would create it and let it share, and for man, let him come and share my infinite, glorious, incredible joy forever. And man, puny little ant, rebels, destroys himself, and God comes to repair him. And the Word was made flesh. And pitched his tent among us. That line there, because it's an allusion to the book of Sirach, where God comes and said, and God tells wisdom, "Pitch your tent there in Israel." But then the Word comes, wisdom himself. And now it's not just wisdom, it's wisdom pitching in his tent. His tent is a human body he took from Mary. And why did he take that? To show us the glory of the Father through flesh, and to take that flesh and let it be suffering and die on the cross, and in an act of love, transform the whole thing in an act which is greater than creation. And we saw this. Full of grace and truth. This psalm says here, where does it say that there? It's a funny little translation. Ah, yes. "He shall rule the world with justice and the people with his constancy." You see. No, it's grace. It's chesed and emunah. Chesed. You see. Grace and truth. Chesed and stability. Unmovability. Reliability, whatever, comes through the Son, poured out. The law was given through Moses. It's a gift, Natan Torah, the gift of the law, a gift that he would reveal, take this people and form them. Time after time after time, they rebel, they rebel, they rebel, they rebel, they complain, they complain, they complain, and he never gives up. Forming, 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 until finally the Immaculate Conception. And now Israel can give the world its Messiah through Mary. You see what a great thing this is. The law was given through Moses. What a gift. We don't know how to tie our shoes, much less how to live. And God said, look, this is the way you live. You don't kill. You don't murder. You don't commit adultery. You honor me. You stop one day a week and praise me. This is how you live. And the Jews said, look how smart we are. Look at the great law we have. But they gave credit to God. All the world will look and say, look at this great people and their God. Their God has instructed them and they know how to live. The law. It's a gift. But darn it, we can't do it without grace and truth. To live the law. It says there in Romans, you know, that the dikaioma, the just requirement of the law, is fulfilled in us. Fulfilled. That's not the same as meeting the law, right? It's fulfilled in us. Abundantly. The top is broken off. It just flows out the top. Fulfillment. For those of us who walk, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so you see, the church wants to end this part of the liturgical year by letting us sort of, I don't know the right word, bathe in reality. Our minds just rejoice. And, oh, sure, we're sick, it's cold, got to eat breakfast, got to pay taxes. All right, forget that for now. Just let your heart and mind bathe in the truth of an infinitely holy triune God and the Father, who is the principium deitatis, the principle of the deity, not any greater than the others, creates. And he creates by looking at all his potential in the Son. That's what it means, that it was created through him. The Father sees all the potential of being reflected in his Son, and that's what he makes. So that every time we look at anything, anytime we touch anything, we touch the Word. St. Thomas says, every time we speak, it's a participation in the Word of God. We're bathed in this, my friends. Bathed in this. And once in a while, it's nice to stop. That's why the church says, well, okay, we're moving on. The octave of Christmas will be starting tonight. We're moving on. We got to go through Lent and all right, fine. But before we move, let's stop and enjoy this truth. Enjoy the fact that God is with us. Anybody have to go to work? I hope not. I took a lot. Oh, Larry, you go to communion first. When we get to communion, you better go first. All right.